way through Romans 15. This is the second session of four, and it covers verses 8 through 13. This one is called Christ, Our Only Hope. Christ, Our Only Hope. So let's read the passage starting with verse 8 of Romans 15. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles, not only the circumcised, the Jew, but now the Gentiles, might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "Therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name." And again, the Old Testament says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him." And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will come, and he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope." May the hope of God fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. In this brief section of Romans, we're looking at one of the most profound and meaningful principles of the Christian faith. That is hope. We will also consider what Paul tells us in Philippians 2, 1 through 9. You see, Christ verifies and validates his gift of hope for a life of meaning and purpose now, as well as hope for an eternal life of meaning and purpose as a member of his royal family forever. He does this in two ways. The first, we often meditate on and worship him, trusting on his unbelievable sacrificial death on the cross for us. We think of this first because our understanding of salvation hinges on this. He died for the sinner, even when they remained guilty in their sin. Thus, he shows us unmerited favor. Trusting in this and who he is as God the Son is our part of an eternal relationship to which he has called us. But there is a second astonishing gift he has given us that we don't often consider. So let's look at Philippians 2, 1 through 9. And let me flip over to that. So Philippians 2, starting with verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let me read that one again. In humility, that's a great word, count others more significant than yourselves. Whew, that's tough to do. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Now, verse 4 and following tells us he left heaven for a purpose. That purpose is to give you hope, and in this life and in the next. So let's ask, how can we know that this is all true? Is this hope mentioned here just hopeful thinking? Meaningless wishes, or is it true? Is it absolutely true? Verse 8 tells us he subordinated himself, he humbled himself to prove to the Jews that he loved them, even to a death at their hands on the cross. In this way, Jesus verifies the truth of his promises by leaving the glory of heaven for 33 of our years and dying for you. Now, verse 9 tells us that the promises given to the Jewish patriarchs are also given to the Gentiles, probably you and me and myself. The same verification of truth, this leaving paradise to live here and die for us, verifies the truth of his word for Gentiles too. Here is a principle of Scripture. When the word says something is true, it's true. When it is repeated, is very true. When it's repeated three times, we had better pay attention to it. It is absolutely true. So in this passage, count the number of times hope for the Gentiles is mentioned. It's six times. Yes, there is an absolutely a true hope for you in Jesus Christ. Revelation 3:11 says, He is coming soon. Whether He comes to you at His second coming, His second advent, or you go to Him at your death, it's soon. The time is short. So, Father, keep us focused and mindful, not in a negative way, but in a positive way, that this life is short, the duration of it is short, and time is running, the clock is ticking, and there will come a time where we'll face you, whether you come back at 1 Thessalonians 4 and the trumpet sounds, and here you are with all your angels and your saints, or if we come to you at our death. And how important that is to know that you gave yourself for us, that you lived a life down here of humility that we might have hope of eternal life with you. We praise your name and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.